You know, my wife has always said that the people around us, they can deny the existence of God. And they do. There's some people that will deny the existence of God. They can come at your faith and label you religious. And they can deny a lot of different things about, you know, even you going to church or whatever. But the one thing that people cannot deny is a changed life, a transformed life. They can't deny that. This person was this person before, and now they're these people, and that's what only Jesus can do. I was having a conversation before this service with somebody that has been delivered from some major addiction, and I was talking to him about how his name is being talked about in the community, about how, you know, the good things that has happened in his life. And we talked about an individual that's in a real dark place, very addicted, and his parents are broken. They just desire for him to be set free. How many of you as parents, when your kids are in a bad place, do we want for God to change them? And it seems impossible. And so as we ended our conversation with these words, nothing is impossible for God. And so if you're here and, yeah, amen. If you're here and you're like, oh, those testimonies are awesome, but that could never happen to me, or you're watching online and you think, you know what, those are amazing, but that could never happen to me or happen to someone that is in my circle, can I tell you that there's nothing impossible for the God that we serve? He can do greater things that we could ever imagine. And that's what it's all about. So today we're going to be talking about the power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. I don't know about you, but there was power that was on those cardboard boxes that we read right now. But there's power. We see this from the scriptures in Revelation, which is going to be my text. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. The Apostle John is getting this vision, this revelation of what God is going to do in and throughout history, but especially the fulfillment or the culmination of all things coming to a head, and that at the end of the day, Jesus was going to prevail. Jesus will prevail. So in verse 10, we read this, and here's the vision. I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them," who's them, brothers and sisters in the Lord, "before our God day and night. And," I love this, "and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And because of that, they do not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." How many of you in here would die for Jesus? He died for us, right? How many of us would die for our faith in the one who gave it all for us? So I want us, for the time remaining, for us to look at this passage and the power that comes through your testimony. The power that comes through my testimony, and just unpack some things that I think are going to be helpful for all of us, so that we can, as well as my wife, say that people can deny a lot of different things about us, but they can never deny a changed life. They can never deny what God and only God can do. So here's the first takeaway that I want you guys to process, okay? The first thing is your testimony. Celebrates the salvation, okay? Not the possibility of salvation, but the salvation and the power and God's kingdom that is available to every person who will trust in the Lord. The time has come. It's here. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, it's here. And so your testimony is here. for you to be able to walk in this reality is here. I read this. It has come at last. I bold that out. What has come at last? Salvation, power, and the kingdom of our God, and then the authority that comes with Christ, which we all need. Let's kind of just think about those words right there, assurance of salvation. I was talking with someone this past week, and they said, well, we don't really know if we're going to go to heaven. We don't have that much power to know. Are we going to go to heaven? Can we be saved? Are we really saved? There's assurance in salvation that Jesus paid it all, and if we're trusting in him, we're saved. Amen. We're not trusting in what we can do. We're trusting in what he did. He did it. We talked about that last week. You know, you can be sure that you are saved. You have, if you're saved, if you've trusted in Jesus, you have a testimony, not a testifony. I say that all the time because it's important to us. So a testifony is someone who's pretending. I don't pretend to trust in Jesus. All my marbles are in that basket. It's not like half of my marbles. I just trust that he paid it all. That if you trust in him, that if you put your faith in him, then you will be saved. Look at how the Apostle John, again, in 1 John, different letter, chapter 5, verse 13, he said, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, the name of the Son of God is Yeshua, Jesus. So let's just unpack that. I have written this to you who believe in Jesus, the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not so that you may guess that you have eternal life or that maybe you're throwing the dice that maybe today, maybe not tomorrow. No, you may know if you believe and you trust in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Your faith comes with security. You don't have to be guessing. And the reason for that is because God is not going to let you go. The Father has you in his hand, and no one can take you out of the Father's hand. Why does he have you in his hand? Because you've trusted in his Son, in Jesus. You believed that it's true. And when you do that, then the second vital thing is you have access into the kingdom of God. You have access. You've been brought in into that place. I love how the writer of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, when he talks about that you were once in the kingdom of darkness, right? In the domain of darkness is the exact word. And then when you trusted in Christ, you were transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So there was a great transfer that happened when you trusted in Jesus Christ. You have access into the kingdom. I pray this prayer, and I believe that this prayer is powerful when you say, Our Father, who art in heaven. So where does my Father dwell in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. And then it says, Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm in his kingdom. I've welcomed that kingdom into my life. I'm an American citizen, but greater than that, I'm a citizen of heaven. Are you with me? And it supersedes even my citizenship here in heaven. I mean, here in America. So that's important right there. In John 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus replied to Nicodemus. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the what? The kingdom of God. So if you're in here and you've trusted in Jesus, you become born again. You come into the family. Until you do that, you can't even see the kingdom. It doesn't make any sense. Let me go on. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man or an old woman go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So being born of water, most theologians believe that is baptism. When you actually are immersed in baptism and you're immersed into the death of Christ. Now, baptism doesn't save you, but it shows people that you are saved. Being born of the Spirit means you've trusted in Jesus. You've said yes to Jesus. You've believed on his name. You say, Lord, I can't do it without you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. It's that declaration that Moriah made this morning. And when that happens, the declaration is what saves her. And then you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit comes inside of your soul. He begins to abode. He makes his abode in every person. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're born of the Spirit. And the things that you could do before, you can't do anymore. Not comfortably. Amen? The way that you know if you're born again is the things that you used to do at one time, you try to do them now, and you might do them, but it feels very uncomfortable. You really have to numb yourself to be able to do sin when you're walking with the Lord. Because you're born again. There's something special that happens. So being born again matters. I think about when I was born, when I came into this world, I was born into Adam's and Eve's sin. So I had to be born again. When I trusted in Jesus, that position that I had as a sinner, I was transferred into Christ. And I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And now I'm walking in his holiness, not my holiness, his holiness. Are you with me? And it's how you're able to navigate through this life with the power of God. And that's where we're going to next. This is important for you as well. We also have God's power. We have God's authority. Because of us? No, because of Jesus. So the devil, I don't have power over the devil, but I have authority over the devil. There were these sons of Sceva that wanted to cast out demons the way that Paul did. And so they go around and they say, well, we cast this demon out in the name of the one that who Paul serves, right? Like Paul, they were trying to do it like Paul. And these demons said, well, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Because they didn't have the authority of Christ. You have to be in Christ to have authority. And when you have Jesus, you will have that. In fact, the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples whenever he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this power will help you to witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It'll go all the way to Oracle. See, there's no power on a cardboard until there's a testimony on a cardboard. The testimony, the power was the witness that they gave. The witness about the life of Jesus and what he does. Think about this. Life without Jesus is usually meaningless, hopeless, without purpose. But when Jesus comes into our life, everything changes. We have meaning. We have hope. We have a purposeful life. We get up thinking, you know what? There's something that God has for me to do today. There's someone in my life who needs the goodness of God. And there's power in that message. Your testimony is a witness to everyone around you that God is bigger than anything that you faced. Did you know that? That's why the devil wants to silence you. He wants to accuse you. He day and night. Anyone in here got accused by the enemy this week? Especially you that were doing this cardboard testimony. The devil probably hit you with all kinds. You don't want to show that. You don't want to have that written down. And Jesus says, you do want to write that down because you're going to flip the card. You're going to flip the card. And that's exactly what we do to the enemy whenever we walk in our testimony. We flip the card. This is who I was before God. This is who I am because of God. And when you do that, you understand that your life message matters. It matters when Jesus Christ is at the center of it. And I'm speaking to someone today that you need to really grab a hold of, that God has brought you here today. You're watching online because Jesus is not central in your life, and you make him the centerpiece of your life, everything changes. The devil loses his power. The devil's power is in the lie. The devil will be telling you that you cannot do it. That your problems are too big. Your past is too bad. But here's the thing, is that Jesus is bigger and he's better than anything that you've ever known. And he's got to be the centerpiece of your life. Here's the second thing that I want you guys to consider. Your testimony makes the cross of Jesus powerfully real. If we're going to boast, let us boast in the cross. Not so much the cross that we see on churches or even the cross that we wear. Those are good. But the cross of Jesus that says true forgiveness is available for you. And you can live it. And you can walk in it. You need to know that the cross of Jesus meant something. Look at what verse 10 and 11, let's read it again. It says, the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And so that's an actual event that happened, that the devil was kicked out of heaven. You need to know that. The devil was an angel before he was ever a demon or a devil, the prince of the demons. And so he was kicked out of heaven because evil cannot dwell in God's abode. Right? So we understand that, but we also find out not only was he kicked down to the earth, but he's the one who accuses brothers and sisters before God every day and every night. That's what he does. He will always accuse you. But then it says, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb was shed at the cross at Calvary. And that blood that was shed is big enough, it's powerful enough to erase everything the devil has led us to do. And the devil's sole purpose is to try to disqualify you from your new position in Christ. I love what Ruth put. All of the testimonies were awesome, but you know, Ruth, we call her Dr. Ruth, Dr. Ruth West. She's a wonderful teacher, an amazing teacher. And her and Pastor Mike have been, you know, by our side, Sean and I, for since we got saved. But the one thing that stands out about her is that there's this insecurity, there's this lack of confidence, there's this mindset that you're not enough before Jesus. And then when you really find out who you are in Christ, you find out that he's enough, and you become everything that God called you to become. This is a mighty teacher of the word, and if she wouldn't have found her position in Christ, she would never be the person that she is today. But because of her, she found out her position in Christ, she is helping so many people to walk in the power of the living God. So the cross of our Lord, it points us to a future. It points us to the reality that tomorrow is going to be a better day. We're going to get through today with the power of God, but we know that as long as we trust in the cross of Jesus, even if we mess up, that he's faithful to forgive us of all unrighteousness and cleanse us and allow for us to move forward. You know, it's the cross that puts you in the light. And I love who was it that came? I think it was Michelle. And Michelle had this cardboard, and on one side just had black. This is exactly this Bible verse, Michelle. And so it's all blackened out, and then she turned it around, and it's white, right? Let's read the scripture with that card in mind. It says, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, the reality, the practical reality is if we are living without Jesus, that cardboard testimony that Michelle put together so beautifully, creatively, if we had that black on one side of the box without Jesus, we turn it around and guess what's on the other side? Black. And sometimes we foolishly think that our box without Jesus is white. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not as bad as a neighbor. I'm not as bad as the person that's down the street. I'm not as bad as that person that's walking, you know, up the street carrying a backpack or whatever. And we think that, you know, we're not that bad. The reality is we are that bad. The lie from the devil is that you're good. And you're not good. I'm here to tell you, none of us are good. Every person falls short of the glory of God. If there was one good person, then Jesus would not have had to come. He would have said, why don't you just live your life like Jack Jones? He's a good person. Follow Jack's example. And Jack would say, but I'm not that good. The reality is all of us fall short, right? So we need a Savior. We need the blood of Jesus. We need the cross of the Lord to get us where we need to be. Here's the third takeaway that I want you to consider. Your testimony is the defense from the accusations of your enemy. I don't know about you, but me, there are times late at night that I get this pressure. I get this like heaviness come upon me. I get these accusations. I get this. I have to battle because the devil hates my guts. And the defense that I have is Jesus. The defense that I have is that God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son so that if and when I did believe in him, I will not perish, but I will have everlasting life. And I hold on to the truth of God's word. I hold on to the truth that God did not send his son to condemn me. So maybe you're in here and you're living a condemned life. That's not from God. Maybe you're living a life where you feel you're inadequate. That's not from God. You have a lot of worth. In fact, you were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. But the devil misaligns that. He mars that. He taints that. And so the Lord did not send his son to condemn us, but that through the son we would be saved. Through the son we would walk a life of peace and hope and goodness, and all the things that condemnation keeps you from. Because if you're living in condemnation, if you're living in brokenness, if you're living in all these things, you'll never walk in the joy of the Lord. You'll never think that you're good enough. But we settled that you're not good enough. But even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he died for us so that he could restore us and change us in his power and his likeness, in his abilities. Are you with me? And so your defense comes with understanding that your testimony speaks volumes. Oh, yeah, the devil comes and he says, you were this. And you say, yeah, I was. When I was following you, you black devil. Or red devil, whatever you want to call him, right? I got to be careful because he said black. Well, I'm brown. Brown devil, you know. Right? There's a battle that just went into my head. You said the black word. Get out of here, devil. Don't we live there? Don't we live like I just said something bad or I did something wrong, and so the devil pounds people. We live in a world now that people can't even talk because what you say, it's wrong. You shouldn't have said that. And God says, well, if you said something wrong, just make it, you know, just change it. Don't live in condemnation. Live in the goodness of God. Don't let the enemy muzzle your testimony. It's time for you to start speaking. It's time for you to start living and walking in what God has done for you. It's time for people to see and hear the good things that Jesus has accomplished in your life. And some of you are going through some biggies right now. So you're going through some biggies, but don't let the devil use those biggies that you're going through to muzzle your witness for the goodness of God. You might say something like this: "Hey, I'm going through a real hard time right now. I'm going through a difficulty in my relationship and my marriage. I'm going through a difficulty in my family, but God's not done. God's working on me. God's working in this situation." You may be going through, you know, a consequence from a decision that you made in the past, and that consequence has brought you to a place. Well, actually, that consequence brought you to a place where you're actually in church. Right? And because you came to church, God has been speaking to you. And maybe today's the day that you say yes to Jesus. Because you've been coming, you know, you've been watching, and you need to take that step across the threshold and say, "I'm going to trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then your defense becomes that testimony of what God did for you, what he did. And there's power in that. There's power when a person turns from toxicity and chooses to follow the Lord. Right? There are some things that are toxic in our lives. But can I tell you something? Just like I started out with that conversation I was having with a brother who's overcome a lot of addiction and now God has just done doing miracles, there's other people in our lives that are still there. And that toxicity is destroying them. In fact, you may know someone, if you're not that one, that needs help to come out of a very toxic life. Jesus is more than able. He's more than able. And so there's a lot of power when we do that. There's power when we have a purpose filled life, when we begin to walk in this newness that the Lord affords us, that he provides for us. And so our life is not like, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? It's, Lord, what can I do for you tomorrow? How can I make a difference for your glory? That's called a purpose-filled life, and that's what Jesus came to provide for all of us. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Let's just process that. What has the devil stolen from you and your loved ones? How has he killed maybe people in your life? Maybe dreams? Maybe relationships? Right? What has he destroyed? What does he desire to destroy? Everything that's good. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And that's eternal life. That means that the grave is not going to have the last word in your life if you trust in Jesus. But not only eternal life, it's so much better than that. And that's very, 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 very good. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Siri. Yeah, amen, Siri. Everybody say amen. But not only eternal life, but an abundant life. That's what I think about as purposeful, as a purposeful life. So as the praise team comes up and we begin to get ready to close, let me ask this question. How many of you in here are walking in the fullness of everything God has for you? And if you're not, why don't we today allow that to become a part of who we are? Maybe you're here today and you're walking on the fences. You know, you're walking just right there, but you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. to make sure that you are born again. So that you're not thinking, well, am I or am I not? That doesn't make any sense. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He didn't understand it. And Jesus said, I'm here. If you believe in the Son of God, then you will be saved. You will not perish, right? That's what John 3:16 is leading you up to John 3:16. Right there. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you're here today, settle the fact that you've trusted in Jesus Christ. So everybody just bow your heads if you don't mind. God, I just come to you this morning, Lord, with everybody in here, praying a prayer that can be owned by someone. Lord, we all come to a place in our lives where we're tired. We get tired of trying to do life on our own. So I believe there's someone here today that they've been trying to do this thing called life in their own power, in their own ability, and it's led them to a road of nowhere. And brokenness, a road that's led to hopelessness and destruction. But today, Lord God, we pray this prayer together, and we admit that we're sinners. I admit that I'm a sinner. I need you, Savior, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. And I believe that you are the Lord, the Kurios, and the Savior of this world. But today, I want to personally invite you into my heart. I want you to come into my life, Lord, and take over. I give you kingship over my life. And I confess that today you are my Lord. Today you are my Savior. I turn from my sins today and choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Everybody keep your heads down if you don't mind. And I just want for every person in here to allow the Spirit of God to just minister to hearts. And if you're in here today and you prayed that prayer, I want you to raise your hand because Jesus, amen, I see your hand go up. Jesus is seen. The most important thing is not that the pastor sees your hand. The most important is that Jesus sees your hand. So if you're saying that for today and you're saying yes to Jesus, I see those hands. That's beautiful. Many hands going up. Just accept that this is your day today. Today's the day you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Today's the day that you've said yes to Jesus. There's probably about 12 hands that went up this morning, and I think that's beautiful. Amen. Now, you can all look at me. And if you will, if you put that, if you raised your hand, just know we're going to be praying for you and that today's a new day for you. In fact, here's the most important thing, and I see tears in the people that have raised their hands. That's beautiful. That's the Holy Spirit working. the most beautiful thing about that is that it tells us that in heaven, the angels are rejoicing. Yes. Yeah, they're rejoicing. Because someone has given their life to Jesus. And so today counted for something. It was very purposeful that we were in the house of the Lord. Amen? So let's give God a big hand and let's give it. Yeah. In that hand, in that applause, we're giving it to also the people that said yes to Jesus. And tell someone, I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. And the devil's going to hate that, but that's your testimony. Amen. Amen. Stand up and let's worship our King.
Well, the exciting news is, too, that now your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no more shame, no more guilt. God comes into our lives and he restores all that back. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Now a new creation.
And let me say this. If you did say yes to Jesus and you're thinking, what's next? If you go to the New Here, Start Here and leave your name, we will get back to you and get you some information on the next steps to take. God bless.